What if everything you have deemed as impossible really was possible? What have you known and believed was possible your whole life? You just didn't know how to actualize it. Come and discover a world of infinite possibilities on Outside the Impossible with Venus Castleberg. On this show, we will share pragmatic tools to create the life and living you truly desire. And now, your host, Venus Castleberg.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to this episode. Hi. Hi.
Hi.
Perfect timing.
Humanoids and technical things.
Yes, totally. Well, welcome. Adriana, would you say your last name?
Adriana Popescu.
Okay, because I was like, I'm introducing somebody I've never talked to, so thank you for saying your name. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's okay. People always mess it up.
Yeah. Well, so happy to have you here. I'd love to just introduce you. I want to just say a little bit about you. You're a licensed clinical psychologist, addiction specialist, and empowerment coach for over 25 years of experience in the mental health field. You're also a certified hypnotherapist, an Access Consciousness certified facilitator, a neuroemotional technique practitioner, and having discovered energy psychology, have provided incredible, powerful tools to identify and eliminate deep-rooted causes of suffering and distress. You love to empower people and overcome their perceived limitations, relieve their self-judgments, and discover the brilliance within, creating a life of infinite possibilities. Well, that sounds pretty amazing to me. Where do I sign up?
Right?
Well, welcome. It's so great to have you here. I know that you're an Access Consciousness Certified Facilitator. That's how we connected. And I just love, I actually have a hypnotherapy background as well. So, you know, it's just in 20 years of, you know, we're all seekers in some fashion. And like, what's the next thing? So how did you discover Access Consciousness?
So I actually myself, yes, being a seeker for many, many years and had already discovered what initially got me on this track was being very sick. I became mysteriously very debilitatingly sick with something called Lyme disease. And well, it turned out to be Lyme disease. They didn't know it for 13 years. And so that put me on the path to looking at alternative treatments because Western medicine didn't have a whole lot to offer me. So when I got to energy psychology, which is things like tapping, neuroemotional technique, a tool called Be Set Free Fast, I would get a lot of progress with my Lyme disease as I started addressing like all the underlying issues, like the emotional stuff, the traumas I had experienced in earlier in my life, traumas I realized I had from other lifetimes, right? So in that process, I eventually found my way to Access. And that was probably about 8 or 9 years ago. I heard Dane or somebody speaking on one of these teleconferences. And then I was like, huh, I like what he's saying. And I was listening to people getting facilitated. And I thought, oh, that's cool. So I took my first bars class and foundation class. And that was it. I was hooked.
Right. Yeah. Pretty usually how it happens. It's like, sign me up. What's the next thing? That's awesome.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I named this show Outside the Impossible specifically because I believe anything is possible. And I know I'm putting you on the spot here because we didn't like talk beforehand. Like, I love if you have something, if you could share one thing that you changed that you thought would be impossible to change by using the Access tools.
Well, I would say my health stuff. They tell you with something like Lyme disease that you're never really cured from it, that you'll always have it, a predisposition for it. And even if your symptoms go into remission, you're likely to have recurrences of it. And I came to find out that that was actually not true. So I would say my physical health, which obviously, of course, is connected to my mental health and emotional health, but like my physical health getting to where I am today, where I don't have any kind of symptoms of Lyme disease anymore. I think the Access having contributed the final pieces of the puzzle, because I had come maybe 75%, 80% better with energy psychology tools, but then when I found Axis and a couple of the missing pieces I hadn't addressed before, that got me 100% symptom free. So wow. I never thought that was going to be possible. Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. Great. So, well, I love our title, and I know I shortened it a little just for, you know, being able to fit it in the graphic, but we originally came up with the title Freeing Yourself from the Prison of Perfectionism. And, yeah. you know, in this reality, we're taught to get it right, to be perfect, to fit in. What are some of the ways that you talk to people to help them change that mindset?
Right. Well, first, people have to realize they have the mindset. So you have to first become aware. And that might be, you know, going backwards to find that belief. You know, we call it in I work with addictions work, and we call it core limiting beliefs. Usually that's what's underlying somebody's tendency towards perfectionism. It's the idea usually of I'm not enough, or I'm never enough, or it's not enough, right? Whatever it is, they're addressing the issue. And so if you look at that as being the core limiting belief, you'll see that getting played out in people's day-to-day lives. You know, like there's a sense of dissatisfaction. There's a sense of low self-esteem, maybe depression or a whole lot of anxiety is oftentimes also what you see. And people will procrastinate. Perfectionists oftentimes will actually procrastinate and not get something done because they're trying to get it perfect. Or they won't even try. You know, it's that thing of two, I don't even want to try because I don't want to fail. I'm too afraid of failing, whatever that means to the person. So sometimes it's, you know, someone's coming to me because I have so much anxiety. I have all this depression. I just don't feel good about myself. And then we have to sort of go backwards and discover, well, what is it that is at the root of that? What are the thoughts that are making you feel that way? And is any of that, and then you have to challenge it. Is any of that even true? Where are you getting it from? Like, where did you learn that you have to be perfect? You know, what I call it the brainwashing, you know, actually Don Miguel Ruiz, the guy who wrote the Four Agreements, he calls it the domestication of the human. And I think, you know, that's very compatible with the way we see things in Access, which is, you know, we come into the world being pretty bright, shiny, happy. We're being our infinite being. If you look at a child, you know, they're joyful and they're not judging themselves and they're not judging other people. It's all learned. We learn how to judge, right? From a very young age, we're taught how to judge, and we're taught by our parents, our teachers, our peers, society, the media, Hollywood, right? Magazines, how we're supposed to look, religion can play a role. And so we're taught how to judge, and we start to judge ourselves as being not enough. Mm-hmm. And then once we get that, and people will, you know, maybe we got the message from our parents, like you're stupid or you're not smart enough or you're not talented enough. All it takes is like one little thing, one person, you know, saying one thing to you that can solidify that as a belief. You internalize it, and now it becomes true for you. And now what you're going to do is, because your point of view creates your reality, right? We talk about that in Access, how that point of view is going to create that reality for you. So if you believe I'm not enough, then you're constantly on this hamster wheel of running, trying to prove that you are enough while already deciding that you're not enough, right? So you're stuck in this never-ending process, which creates so much anxiety for people, so much pain and suffering. And we have to really look at that and be like, okay, is any of that actually true? What if there's actually nothing wrong with you? What if there never was anything wrong with you? And challenge the very idea of the right and wrong that those judgments are based on.
Wow. And so what are some of the ways that you would actually help somebody let that go or change that?
Well, in Access Consciousness, and I have other modalities that I work with as well. I mean, we would want to change the energy around the belief, right? Mm-hmm. So if the belief is I am not enough or I'm never enough, then we might want to do like standard cognitive behavioral therapy would say, well, what evidence do you have that supports that? What evidence do you have that does not support that idea? Most of the time when you put people through that inquiry, they're going to find they have way more evidence that they are in fact that the statement, the point of view is not true, right? That's one way you could go about it. Another way you could go about it is to use the Access Consciousness Clearing Statement, right? And there's a whole website devoted to that called theclearingstatement.com. Because what that does is that that series of weird sounding acronyms goes to the point of creation of what was exactly happening, what you were thinking, feeling, experiencing the moment when you took that on, right? Because to take on a belief that I'm not enough, something had to have created that, you know? Somebody told you that, you took it on from a parent or somebody else around you who believed that to be true about themselves, so you kind of mimicked it from them, or somehow you got that idea, right? So we want to change the energy around that so that you can actually, you know, look at it from a different perspective. Like, what's right about me? I'm not getting. I'm so fixated on what's wrong. People look in the mirror, right? Oh, I don't like this. I don't like that, right? These are all the things that are wrong with me that I think are wrong with me. Well, what's right about me? Well, maybe this isn't so bad, and I kind of like this and all that. Right? That might be one way to approach it, is to challenge the idea and where it's coming from. And, you know, if you got it, let's say kids that grow up getting abused, right? A lot of abused kids will get these kinds of messages, to challenge that and to look at, how did you end up taking that personally? And what if it was never about you? Right? Maybe as the kid who was being abused, what if it was like your parent or whoever the person was that abused you? What if that was their own stuff that they were projecting onto you, and you happen to be the convenient target because there you are, right? Maybe it was never yours in the first place. And so we can undo where a person took on a belief like that personally and made it about them. Well, if my mom said it, it must be true. There is something wrong with me. Or I got neglected. It doesn't even have to be abuse. It could be like I didn't get attention from my mom or dad. It must be because I'm not enough. You know, I wasn't enough to get their attention. No, well, what if mom and dad had their own stuff going on? They were depressed. They felt bad about themselves. They couldn't be there for you. It had nothing to do with you. They wouldn't have been able to be there for anyone, right? To start to like bring an adult's awareness, you know, and more perspective, because the child doesn't understand. Right. And so you come to these conclusions about yourself as a child when you don't have the greater awareness of the bigger picture, and you're functioning on some old program from when you were like 5 years old. Sometimes when you bring a wiser, more aware, conscious perspective to it, you can recognize it for the BS that it is. Yeah, that had nothing to do with me. I was a little kid. Like, you never look at a baby or a young child and say, there's something wrong with you, right?
Right.
And yet, you know, that's what we do, and that's what we allow ourselves to have done to us. So undoing some of that sometimes means going back to the point of creation when all of this started, and starting to do some clearing and some healing work around that. And then it's the active practice. You know, then you have to work with people's monkey minds. So, you know, I a lot of the work that I do is mindfulness based, right? So just noticing when you are talking that way to yourself, and then saying, wait a minute, hold on, I'm doing a lot of negative self-talk right now. Is it true? Like, who does this, you could even go with, who does this belong to? Maybe you're not even, maybe it's not even your stuff. You're picking up on it from people around you. They're thinking this negative way about themselves. They're thinking, I'm not enough and I have to keep running, you know, to be perfect. Maybe you're picking it up from other people. So who does it belong to? Maybe, you know, you've got these more negative voices that we have tools and access that we can use to clear some of those voices. It might be, you know, the voices of demons or other things that you're hearing in your head, that we have a tool for that. We can clear that. There's a lot of different ways you can approach it, but sometimes you also have to work with the person in present time around, you're engaging in this like obsessive thinking. You need to start nip that in the bud, and here are some tools to do that. So I like to give my clients lots of tools to empower them to recognize when they're going down this track and to change that energy so that they can see themselves in a different light of what's actually true. Because as an infinite being, there is nothing wrong with you, it's like you as an infinite being exist beyond all that judgment of right and wrong, right? The Sufi poet Rumi has a really beautiful quote. Out beyond all ideas of right doing and wrong doing, there is a field. I'll meet you there. And to me, I think the work that we do in Access and the work that I do just in general with my clients is all about moving past all those judgments to get to that space of infinite being, where there is no judgment and there is no right and wrong and there is no such thing as not enough. Because would an infinite being ever not be enough, right? helping people to access that and function from that space more often and more of the time. That's really the bigger picture of what I'm doing.
That's really amazing. And then would you say a little bit more about, like, not judging? Because we're taught, like, to just judge is, like, the normal. Like, you judge something is right or wrong. That's how you determine what you do in life or how you're supposed to function.
Right.
So if we don't have that. Yeah, go ahead.
If we don't have that, we would have mass chaos and anarchy, probably, right? sometimes I have to contextualize it in the sense of, like, you put it into context. Where did that judgment come from? Right and wrong, good and bad, that generally came, if you look, like, anthropologically, that comes from religion, organized religion. Because people used to be nomads. They traveled around in their little tribes, and, you know, they didn't really have a sense of structure. And then when people settled down in community and created communities and started doing, like, farming and agriculture, and they, you know, planted themselves in a certain space, that's when you had the growth of these organizations that were trying to help people make sense of their world. You know, like, why does the sun rise and fall every day? You know, like, what they didn't understand a lot about how the world worked, I guess, where they were way less conscious back then in the early days. And so I think these religions grew as a way to control people. Like, this is how, in order to maintain some sort of order, they were trying to create order in their cult, in their communities. So they came up with these sets of rules for you to go by. And the way to enforce them, a really great way to enforce people's behavior, is to use fear and to use shame, right? Those are invented emotions, fear and shame, right? And shame is always at the root of I'm not enough, or you know what I mean? Like, that's the emotion that goes with that belief of not enough. Mm-hmm. And it's at the root of perfectionism, is this idea of shame. Like, I am bad. I am wrong. There's something fundamentally defective about me. Like, all those kinds of energies are what underlie it. And if you look at, you know, how organized religions, their dogma, a lot of it centers around that. You know, you've got Catholicism, and I can speak to this because I went to Catholic school for 12 years. Catholicism tells you you're born in original sin. You are born wrong and defective. And the only way you can redeem yourself is by following these guidelines that we've given you, right? And then maybe, you know, someday when you face that judging God, then if you've done, you know, what we told you, then you have a better chance of being rewarded and going to heaven. Otherwise, you will burn in eternity in hell. And they make it sound pretty bad. So they scare you. They scare you into complying, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the origin of all of that. You see it in government, you see it in military, you see it in all kinds of organization where they use these fear and shame tactics to get people to comply with whatever they've decided they want so they can control people. And, you know, you can see there's often a money aspect to that. And, you know, anyway, that's my interesting point of view about all of that. But sometimes that's where you have to go. You have to educate people around this is how this stuff started. And the other comparison is nature. You don't see...
Cool. We're going to have to finish that on the other side of this break. Or take a quick break. Okay. We'll be right back, folks.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Is it time to create a different and greater world? Through research, we can explore paths to new and exciting possibilities. The Hope Foundation for Possibilities and Change is a research-based not-for-profit organization dedicated to exploring, discovering, and creating a different future for all. Your donations make this happen. You can contribute at foundationforpossibilities.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. We're talking about freeing yourself from the prison of perfectionism. And right before the break, you were, Dr. Adriana, you were talking about fear and shame and how that was used to control us, and then we got cut off.
Yeah. Well, I guess the main point of that whole conversation is that what I try to educate my clients and the people I work with on is the idea that judgment is an invention. It's not actually real, right? And when people really start to understand that, when I started to finally get that, then it took the power out of it. Then other people's judgments had no power over me. My own judgments, I could see them for the BS that they were, right? And it's obviously a work in progress. I'm not judgment-free. I've been asking for that. I've been putting that out there for myself, like, what would it take to be completely judgment-free? But as far as I can see, you know, judgment is the greatest source of human suffering. If you look at all the quote-unquote problems we have in the world, as well as the problems we experience internally, it's all, you can reduce it all down to a judgment. Like, I'm right, you're wrong. Or, like, our group is right and your group is wrong. It's what creates the war. It's what creates all the fighting. And when you recognize that the judgment itself isn't even real, it's an invention, you don't see it in nature. You don't see animals and plants and trees making each other or themselves wrong. Only humans do this. Mm-hmm. And so when you recognize that judgment is a choice and it's an invention, then you don't have to choose to play the same game that we were all brainwashed with, like you said, you know, when we were growing up, and this is how we were told we had to be. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of freedom that can come from that. That's where I think you're taking yourself out of that prison of perfectionism, is to challenge the fundamental judgments underneath it and the comparison, right? There's with perfectionism, there's always this comparison thing, like you have to compare yourself to everyone else and figure out how you're lesser than or not as good as everyone else, right? Mm-hmm. That's often the thing that drives that obsessive thinking, and comparing also underlies the perfectionism and the anxiety, the fear, you know, that all that creates.
Yeah. Well, and I also know that I've had people talk to me about this, and maybe you can touch on it a little bit from your perspective, but like, if we don't have, well, what we were taught, the control piece, you know, there's a right and a wrong, then somehow we think that the morality of people will just go out the door.
Right. But ironically, here's the thing, you know, when you feel good about yourself, right? Like, if you even think of times when you have felt really good about yourself, or when you're truly connected with more of that infinite being, when you're happy, when you're joyful, do you have any desire to do harm to others?
No. Wow. Yeah.
You don't. No, because you're in that space of, I don't know what some people, you know, spiritual people might call oneness. You know, unconditional love. Because that's really the space that we be in. Access, we talk about as an infinite being, you actually are joy, bliss, ecstasy, and gratitude. Those are the natural energies that you are. You can see children, again, young children before they get domesticated. you know, that's what Don Miguel Ruiz calls it. Yeah, the domestication of the human. Before we get domesticated, you know, we're like this boundless being of light and joy. And so when you're in that space, you have no desire to F people over. You have no desire to harm yourself. You know, that's not a vibrational match to engage in those other, I don't know, darker kinds of behaviors.
Right. So once somebody starts to change their point of view about themselves, where do they go from there? It's like, because most of this reality and this world is not functioning from that. So it's like, okay, so we're encouraging you to be you, and to be the blissful, joyful, and it's not widely accepted. A lot of people even go, you know, if you're really happy, they're like, what drug are you on? Like,
right.
It's so normal to share trauma and drama. Like,
right.
Something's wrong, let's share trauma and drama. And you're like, but if you're happy, something's wrong.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting, right? I started really getting that personally when I would, like, go meet friends of mine that I've known for years, right? I might meet them for dinner or something, and I become aware of how, like, the whole conversation was really a big complaint session about all the problems and everything that's wrong. And the less I started engaging in that, the quieter the conversations got and the more bored I got, because I was like, all this person wants to do is talk about problems, traumas, and dramas. So much of our reality is based on that. And so now I find myself not always being so talkative around people. I'm more quiet, and I'm just being the space in my own space and just kind of letting them do their thing. And just, you know, sometimes we talk about clear pool, cesspool. There's this idea and access, like, I'm going to stay in my own nice clear pool where there's like waterfalls and animals and nature and all that kind of energetically, like being in that space. And other people, they want to spend their time swimming around in a cesspool. I don't really want to go there anymore. I've spent enough time in the cesspool. It's stinky and gross. It's not that fun. But if you move, the thing about, so the antithesis of judgment is allowance, right? Like, mm-hmm. like when you have allowance, you're in that space of receiving, and you're less needy or dependent on other people. A big part of perfectionism is you're trying to get other people's validation. You're trying to get their stamp of approval. You're seeking their positive judgment. You want somebody mm-hmm. to tell you that you're right, you're correct. But when you lose the need for that, because you recognize first off that the judgment is BS and you're swimming around in your clear pool and you're receiving, you're so open to receiving from everything around you, the plants, the trees, the animals. And it's like, there is no judgment in any of that. And so it doesn't matter to you when you have that allowance, you can let other people swim around in their cesspool and you don't feel the need to have to go in there after them to rescue or save them. But also you don't have to be affected by their stuff. So I can sit yeah. there and listen to my friends bitch and moan about all their problems and just smile and say whatever it is they like need me to say so they feel that I'm, you know, receiving them and all of that. But I don't buy any of it as true. You know, because I'm aware at this point that if they wanted to change their pain and suffering, they could. There's enough technology out there with all of these tools, not just access, but so many different tools that you could use to change the energy around something that's not working for you, that if mm-hmm. you don't choose to avail yourself of that and make the changes, that's on you. That's a choice you're making, right?
Mm. Yeah.
I don't see people as victims, and because everyone always has a choice.
Yeah, cool. So were you always perfect at not being perfect?
No, I'm a recovering perfectionist. I'm a recovering awesome. Perfectionist and a recovering head tripper. So no, it really is a daily practice. You know, like, and now I understand like why people practice meditation. It's not something I actively do so much anymore, but I get it. The whole thing behind it is to just become more aware, just to really become aware of your thoughts, your feelings, the physical sensations in your body, just to always be aware of what's happening and to then be in question around what is this, and not just be on autopilot and assume that because, I'm thinking because I'm aware of anxious thoughts, because I'm aware of judgment, or I'm aware of anxiety, I'm aware of some other emotion, to assume that it's one, mine, two, that it's true, and three, to run amok with it, right? Because the minute you assume, and that's what we usually do on autopilot, you think, I'm perceiving the energy of anxiety. There's this sort of fear energy there. I wonder what, and then your mind, you know, will go to, I wonder what I'm anxious about. Oh, it must be this thing. And then you'll invent a whole story about this thing that you're anxious about. And guess what? Now you're actually anxious. You'll feel it in your body. You'll be fully hooked in. When if you'd have just asked in the first place, the second you noticed, oh, something's wonky here. What is that? Oh, it's the energy of anxiety. Okay. Is that mine? Who does this belong to? Is this mine? Is this someone else's? What can I do with this? Is this relevant? Do I need to do something with this? Because the thing is, most people don't realize we're way more empathic and way more like psychically aware of what everyone else is thinking and feeling than we ever acknowledge. And when you start to get that piece of it, there's a lot of freedom that can come from it as well. Because, you know, and the way I illustrate this to people is like, what do you feel like when you're out in nature? Most people feel really good. You know, they feel calm, they feel at peace. The minute you get around people again, that's when anxiety, anger, agitation, like mind running like a hamster on a wheel, all that stuff kicks in when you're around humans. Why? Because you're picking up on all their stuff.
Right.
You know, and a lot of my alcohol and drug clients, you know, and people with addictions, a lot of times what they're trying to do with their substance use or their addictive behaviors, they're trying to numb that awareness. They're trying to turn it down. When I work with my clients who have these issues around how acutely, like helping them become aware of how acutely aware they are and how empathic and highly sensitive they are, and then you start giving them tools to work with that, usually their anxiety levels are going to come way down, and they're going to be able to have more mindfulness and awareness around, oh, you know, wow, like look at how I am thinking and feeling, and wait, what if it isn't mine? And oh, there's these tools I could use. Suddenly there's all this empowerment and freedom that comes in that when you give people that awareness and then the tools to deal with it.
Right. And so what are some, I know we have Pock and Pod, but like, what are some like basic tools if somebody was just listening today and was going, okay, great, you know, I get that I need to stop judging myself, and how do I even start? What would you recommend?
I would recommend first the becoming more mindful. What's it gonna, like, what would help someone become more aware of when they are having those kinds of judgments? So maybe it is meditation. Maybe you start someone with like 5 minutes of meditation where you just observe, because you have to have that ability to observe your own process, right? Oh, I'm feeling this thing in my body. Oh, my mind is thinking this. Ooh, I'm feeling some emotion of some sort, right? Like you have to at least have that to start. So anything that helps people get more mindful, and that might be like just journaling could be one way, like writing about what you're thinking about something. It could be like literally sitting there and doing mindfulness meditation where you're like the observer noticing. And then we have tools. Well, in Access, you know, we might start with tools like the question. Because a question is going to empower you. A question is going to give you awareness. So what is this? You might start there. What is this? What do I do with it? Can I change it? And then if so, how do I change it? We might go down that line of questions. You might go down a different line of questions, like who does this belong to? Is this even my stuff? Interesting point of view is another one I like a lot. Interesting point of view is going to help you get to that space of allowance, because what it does is it gives you a bit of distance from the thing. So for instance, like anyone who's listening right now, think about an upset that you've had with someone. Let's say it's an interpersonal thing, like you're pissed at someone or you're feeling hurt by something they said. And Venus, you can do this too, right? Think about that thing, mm-hmm. if you have it, okay? And then just say to yourself, interesting point of view. And they keep saying that. Interesting point of view, they have that point of view. You know, maybe they judged you in some way and tried to make you wrong. Interesting point of view, they have that point of view. Interesting point of view, they have that point of view. Interesting point of view, I have the point of view that what they're telling me is real and significant rather than just an interesting point of view. It takes the charge out of whatever that judge, it's usually a judgment, right? It takes the charge out of it and it gives you a bit of buffer space so you can get more detached. And you can kind of see it for what it is. Then you can start to recognize it that, wait a minute, this is just their stuff. Maybe they're projecting their stuff on me. This doesn't even have anything to do with me. That's their own thing, right? Mm-hmm. And look at how interesting it is that I'm getting all wound up about it. Like, oh, I'm choosing to get wound up about it. What other choice could I make here, right? So interesting point of view helps get you to that space that in mindful meditation they call the observer or the witness. So that you aren't so caught up in the thoughts and the feelings. You have to have that ability to separate yourself from them, because when you're on autopilot, you are your thoughts, feelings, and emotions. And then we would say in Access, at that point, you're functioning as a more limited, finite being. Other people might say then you're stuck in the ego. You're stuck in all the realm of the ego rather than the realm of your spirit, your infinite being, which is the being that is joy, bliss, ecstasy, and doesn't function from this judgment and the wrongness and rightness of things. So it helps you to separate yourself so you can get back into more of that space. And then it tends to lose the charge, the upset. So interesting point of view is another good tool. And I really like the question, what's right about me I'm not getting, or what's right about this that I'm not getting, will also help pull you out of the negative kinds of energies you're stuck in and get you seeing things from a different perspective.
Beautiful. So when you started this practice for yourself, did you start with meditation? Was that?
Well, meditation just came up because when I was in, I was in massage school many, many years ago in Boulder, Colorado. That was kind of when I was first getting sick with my Lyme disease. And I just had this intuitive sense to go find out more about like bodies and energies and things. So we would do meditation there. And then when I went to grad school after that, we had meditation at the beginning of like every class. So yeah, I mean, I got exposed to a lot of it and that helped. And studying Eastern philosophies and spiritual traditions. And even now at the rehab, you know, we start, when we run groups there with the ladies, we always start with like a 10-15 minute meditation where we're just guiding them to like that space to be able to observe their own thoughts, feelings, and sensations, experiences without getting caught up in them, to develop that capacity. I think that helps. It helps a lot because how can you change something when you're not even aware of what it is that's happening? And you're not in question about it, right? You're just unconscious. That's when you don't really have...
Oh, cool. Well, welcome back, everyone. usually we hear the commercials.
But that was a short break.
We're back on. Sweet. Well, so right before the break, you were talking about meditation as a practice. I'm wondering if you'd be willing to maybe walk us through a short meditation to have people get a taste of what that might be like.
Yeah, sure. So let's start. Kind of get comfy in your chair, your bed, wherever you are. If you're driving, I would not be closing your eyes. So this might not be an exercise you want to do when you're operating heavy machinery or operating a vehicle. But yeah, take a moment to just kind of close your eyes if you feel comfortable doing that. And start with a couple of nice deep breaths. As you breathe in, imagine the air going all the way down to the tips of your toes. And start by bringing your attention to your body. Just notice what's happening with your body right now. And you're just noticing, you're not trying to change anything in any way, okay? You're just observing. Notice the sensations you have in your body right now. Notice if there's any pain or discomfort anywhere. Maybe there's spaces that, you know, you're holding the muscles, they feel tense or tight. Maybe there's achiness or pain somewhere. Notice if you even feel connected with your body. Are you even in your body right now? Some of us live our lives kind of checked out. And kind of just notice all that. And notice your breath. Notice if your breathing is kind of regular, if the air goes all the way down into your belly, or is it more shallow, more rapid? Sometimes when we're anxious, our breathing gets very shallow and rapid. Just notice there's no right or wrong. You're just observing. And then check into your mind. Notice what your mind is doing right now. What kinds of thoughts are you having? Is your mind going a million miles an hour? Is it running like a hamster on a wheel, or are things more calm and quiet in your mind? Just notice. And then tune in to the emotions. Notice what's happening with your mood. Are you feeling calm, or are you feeling a little more stressed? Is there an emotion present like worry, anxiety, maybe there's sadness? Or maybe it's just very peaceful and calm, or something in between. Just notice. And then I'm going to take you guys through an exercise so you have a sense kind of what's going on just baseline right now. And I want to take you through an expand out exercise. And we're going to check back in with our body, our mind, and our feelings once we do this exercise. So I would invite you now to all imagine that your energy field, that's kind of like your aura, right, extends out past your body and fills the room that you're in. And it's not really an effortful thing. You just intend, if you will, the energy to get bigger. And then allow your energy field to get even bigger until you're as big as the whole building. And then keep expanding out in all directions, including down into the ground and up into the sky, until you're as big as the entire block or immediate area around you. And then keep expanding out, getting bigger and bigger, including down into the earth and up into the sky until you're as big as the entire town or city. And then the entire state or province. And then let yourself get as big as your entire country, including that far down into the earth and up into the sky. From there, you're going to keep expanding out in all directions, including way down deep into the earth, expanding all the way out into the infinite reaches of the universe. And this is the space of you as an infinite being. You as a being who goes beyond the ego, beyond the identity, beyond the thoughts, feelings, and emotions associated with this particular lifetime and this place and space. It's the you that transcends all that. You as a being, you as a spirit, a soul, whatever you want to call it. It's the greater you. So from this space, notice the body. What happens to the different sensations in the body? Notice the mind. What happens to thoughts in this space? And notice the emotions. Does any of it seem different when you're in this expanded space of being? In this space, what happens to the problems and the stressors of your day-to-day life? What happens to all those judgments that you may have of yourself, of others? What happens to the judgments that others may have of you, that they project onto you? Does it seem any different in this space? And then I usually give people some time to kind of explore that space. But in the interest of our time today, see if you can maintain the space while you also start to bring your attention back to present time, the room you're in, feeling the chair, bed, whatever, the floor beneath you. Taking one last deep breath in from the top of your head, all the way down to the tips of your toes. And again, see if you can bring this expanded space with you as you very slowly and gently open your eyes. Okay. So, Venus, what did you notice with that exercise?
Yeah, there's a lot more space, definitely. Interesting, too, like, points of view dissolving. Like,
yeah.
There really wasn't anything for it to latch onto.
Yeah, so, and that's what...
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, most people... I was going to say, that's what most people experience. Yeah, keep going.
Yeah, it was just like, I guess one of the things that I know about judgment, and we've, you know, I talk and work with clients with it too, is like it builds on it. So once you buy one judgment, then another one hooks on to that, and another, like it's like this endless cycle. Mm-hmm. When instead, if you just were to stop it in whatever way that you can stop it, you know, see a stop sign, do meditation, like find a way to stop. And so that's what I noticed inside the meditation. The space was just like there was nothing for anything to glom onto.
Exactly. And when people start to have that experience, that's why I like doing that expand out exercise. And I tend to do it in that kind of slower, more meditative way, because I want people to get that sense of what that is. Because most people don't ever really access that, you know. They're so stuck on the hamster wheel and so constantly in that never-ending mind chatter that it's difficult for them to access that space of being. But I think this is why meditators are practicing. They're lifelong practicing accessing that and becoming that more and more. Like what's happened for me is I am more of that space more of the time than I ever used to be, and so I don't get emotional about stuff as easily. I don't get all wound up in my thoughts because I can expand out and remember, oh, okay, this is who I am. The other stuff is all an invention. The other stuff, none of it is real, because when you're in that space, you recognize it. Oh, none of it matters. A lot of people will say, oh yeah, my problems, they just seem like a tiny little speck of sand, you know, and like a vast, you know, desert, and none of it really matters. Like that's what usually people get to. They're like, none of it matters. And so when people get that awareness and they can start to function more and more from that, that's why I think it's a practice. We have to keep reminding ourselves, oh yeah, this is who I truly be. That's when, you know, the true freedom can come and the judgment loses its power over you and the need for perfection starts to fall away, because you recognize I am whatever perfect is, quote unquote, I am already it. It's not something I need to change. There's nothing about me I need to change other than my point of view that there's something wrong with me. Right? If I can change that, then there is nothing left. Then I can just be me. And these tools let us do that.
Right. And the more you practice them, the easier it gets, and then the less time you spend there. Yeah.
Absolutely. Awesome. It is a cumulative effect. And then things like energy work, you know, like I love Access Bars, you know, that's hands-on energy work that can also help. It helps to especially release all the junk we've locked in our bodies, because so much of our judgments and our emotions that we repress and all that gets somaticized into our bodies. So anything we can do to also release these energies through energy work is also really great. So I'm a big fan of that type of work as well.
Yeah, so it's not just, it doesn't just get locked in our brains, it also gets locked into our bodies.
Yep. I once heard, I can't remember if it was Gary or Dane, one of the creators of Access, talking about how every time you create a judgment, you have to create a corresponding block or wall of energy in your body. Like it basically solidifies the energy into your body every time your mind does a judgment. And when I got that awareness, I was like, oh my God. I got the awareness of what I had done with my own body and how much of my own, you know, a lot of what was at the root of my Lyme disease that I didn't realize until I started doing these tools was that I was taking on the pain and suffering, the thoughts, feelings, and emotions of everyone around me, not just like my family and friends, but like when I was starting to see clients and stuff, and I was literally like a sponge absorbing all of that to the point that my body broke down and no longer could function. I became allergic to everything in my environment, which was my body's way of saying, you have so much other energy inside of you right now that is not yours. It's like become toxic. Mm-hmm.
And so what were some of the ways that you just started to clear that out? Like stopping the judgments, I can see that, but like clearing out some of the past blocks that you created.
Right. So, I mean, having done a lot of body work and somatic work, right? So it could be anything from massage, Access Bars, other kinds of energy work. I still use EFT or tapping a lot because that shifts energies. Craniosacral work, right? Anything that also is working more. NET is a great one. I'm certified in a modality called neuroemotional technique, which is all about identifying the emotions that are stuck in the body. That was a huge one for me. the BSAT Free Fast, some of these other energy psychology tools that I still use in my practice because I find them so helpful. And because also, you know, I like having a big toolbox. Not everybody responds to the access tools, so I have a lot of other ones that I can use with people that I find to be just as effective. So finding out what the tools are and then using them, and over time, the more you use them, the more you actually become the tools, and then your, you know, life really starts to change.
Well, I, for sake of time, I don't want to run out of time. How can people find you? And yes.
So I am in San Francisco, California. I have a private practice here, as well as working, like I said, up at a drug and alcohol rehab here locally. I'm on the web at adrianapopescu.org. From there, you can find me across all the different social media platforms. I'm on most of them, SoundCloud, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all that business. And people can email me from there if they want to contact me, or my phone number is on there as well. And I do work with people all over the world. I do travel also and facilitate classes and access and in some other modalities. And so.
Wonderful. I think I just lost you.
Oh, hello.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. Okay.
Wonderful. And do you have anything like going on coming up? Any particular classes? Anything you'd like to let people know about?
Yeah, I actually have an online class coming up in March called Overcoming Social Anxiety. And in that, we're actually going to be working a lot with judgments, because that's often at the root of social anxiety, is people's fears of being judged, you know, when they're out around others in public. And I'm going to be actually, I'm doing it a little differently, where I'm going to be combining access tools and energy psychology tools, because these are the ones that I have found most effective for dealing with that particular issue. So I'm excited about that. And there's more information on my website. And then I do a lot of work with Talk to the Entities, which is a subspecialty of access. And I've got some classes coming up on those that you can also find on my website.
Oh, that's great. So what are just a few kind of closing thoughts that you'd like our listeners to get today about freeing themselves from the prison of perfectionism?
So I guess I would leave them with questions like, what if there were nothing ever wrong with you? What if there is nothing wrong with you? And what if there was never anything wrong with you? What's right about you, you're not getting. And what else is possible for you that you've never even imagined was possible before? And what would it take to access more of that?
That's really beautiful. So take notes, folks. And could you just share just like, what was your biggest tool to change your life and free yourself?
Gosh, that's a hard one because there's so many, right?
They all build on each other, but
I would say anything that works like the clearing statement does. There's a different modality. I had BSAT Free Fast first, and I actually wrote my dissertation on it, but it works similarly to the clearing statement. Having something like that, the clearing statement, or in the case of BSFF, the Q, having a tool that the minute I get an awareness of something wonky, that I can use this tool to change that energy. That to me is the most powerful and probably the tool that I use the most. In addition now to the question. The question with the pairing of the clearing tool, and you can even say tapping is a clearing tool as well, but anything that clears and shifts the energy, that has been the most helpful.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being here on the show today. I really hope some people got some great tools to free themselves from perfectionism.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Have a great day.